And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser, intern Mark here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody has, or is off to a great start this morning. If you did not join us yesterday, because you are not a dedicated enough listener to our program to wake up on Labor Day when you don't have to and listen to us, welcome back to the program today. It's good to have you back with us. Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah, you missed the greatest show ever. You can go find that, though, by the way.
You can go
back and listen and catch up. Doing all right. Stayed up too late watching too much bad Florida State football last night. DJ Uiagalelei is not good, but, guys, they let Boston College rush for 300 and some yards on them. Like, they got all
kinds
of issues.
I think they just might totally stink.
They might.
I don't know if it's like, hey, Georgia Tech's great and Boston College is great. I think Florida State might just suck.
Yeah,
that's my takeaway from watching them play the first 2 weeks.
I think that's a fair takeaway. Another takeaway, though, I will say, Bill O'Brien can coach football.
He can.
And, I mean, like their scheme, their play calling and everything last night for BC, it was good. Like, actually, you know, it's all relative to the ACC, you know? Like, they could be good in the ACC.
Who will Bill O'Brien trade away?
They're not, yeah. They're not going to be total cheeks, which they've been for a long time. Yeah, I mean, that quarterback looked pretty good last night. So
he did.
So I guess, you know, he'll be playing at Harvard soon enough.
Every time I look at DeAndre Hopkins, I'm like, oh, yeah, Bill O'Brien traded that guy. Good stuff. Good stuff.
And then, you know, went on a PR campaign against him.
He did.
Kind of weird.
He did. Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing well, fellas. Can't complain. Glad to be here this morning. And, yeah, that was an abysmal performance last night. I'm seeing the highlights right now. I turned it off.
Not very good.
So, yeah, not a good game last night.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be a bad game because I thought Florida State would win by about 30. So, I guess it was at least surprisingly bad in a different way.
It was. No doubt about that. So, week one of college football officially in the books. Week two coming up. But we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but some – interesting games coming up this weekend, Tennessee and NC State. A lot of eyeballs going to be on Colorado and Nebraska as well. And then, obviously, Texas and Michigan, the headliner for week two of college football coming up this week. So, some good ones, some interesting games coming up in week two of college football. Interested to see how that goes. And I told you before the show, I'm looking forward to the last week of the year when Florida and Florida State are looking for their first win of the year.
Yeah, and both looking for coaches.
Yeah, what a battle.
I really don't think Mike Norvell would be fired this year.
I don't think so either. I do think Billy Napier would be fired this year.
Could be.
I think that might happen. Week one, right around the corner from the NFL as well. 2 days away from the opening night of NFL football season, the Chiefs and the Ravens. Packers and Eagles play down in Brazil on Friday, and then our first full Sunday of NFL football coming up this weekend. The Titans on the road taking on the Bears. We talked about it yesterday. At one point, the Bears were a touchdown favorite. It's gone down to 4.5, which is interesting. So, interested to see how that continues to evolve this week. Brian Callahan addressing the media yesterday as the Titans have begun their preparation for Chicago here in week one. And one of the things that's going to be really interesting to watch in week one, how equipped is the secondary from the jump when there just hasn't been a lot of practice time together for those guys? Chidobe Awuzie has been out with the calf injury. Legarius Sneed and his maintenance plan with the knee has been on full display in training camp to this point. And Ryan Callahan was asked yesterday at the podium at the press conference about the secondary and about if the work that they've done off the field can translate on the field immediately in week one for the Titans. Here's what Ryan Callahan had to say yesterday.
Part of the unknowns, though, that you've got is that secondary. You know, the management plan, the injury to Cheeto. Now that they, you know, they've all talked about how they've done walkthroughs together, meetings. How much of a leap is it, though, even with their experience, to make that translate onto the field Sunday?
Yeah, there's a leap. There's certainly not. it's not what you would plan on if you had a perfect world, but I know what those two guys are made of, particularly Legarius and Cheeto. I've seen them play. I've seen Legarius play really, really good football. He looks great now. I know what Cheeto's capable of, so I know what the pieces are capable of. And then there's going to come a part of playing together that we're going to have to grow as we go, and that's just part of having as many new players as we have and new coaches as we have. So the process will be ongoing for us. I don't think it ever stops. But I'm very confident in what those, especially those two people, what they've done and how they go about their work, that I'm not worried about their level of play, but certainly the group as a whole is going to need to grow together.
So that was Brian Callahan on the secondary. Does not appear to be overly concerned about Awuzie and Snead's level of play, but did mention that it is something to monitor in terms of just those guys growing together, being on the field at the same time. And that, to me, Joe, beyond the obvious of, you know, the Caleb Williams, Will Levis stuff that we talked about yesterday and the eyeballs that just naturally gravitate to the quarterback position, probably close to the top of the list of what I'm looking forward to on Sunday from the Titans' perspective is how do those guys look together in the secondary and how quickly can they turn into what we think is going to be a pretty big strength of the team.
Yeah, it's just really going to be fun. It's an incredible matchup anyway, and then the fact that you just haven't seen them play. So even if they weren't in a game like this against the, you know, the savior at quarterback and his great receiving core, it'd be really interesting to see them play. Maybe it'd be better for the Titans if they didn't play such a dangerous crew. But hey, start right out with a really fun matchup. And like I said, yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. Like the whole, it's not just the corners, you know, it's obviously corner safeties, everybody working together. I'm sure, you know, there's some things that they'll learn or, you know, get a feel for on certain things. But I still say, you know, as long as you know the calls, you know the coverage, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, depending on what the Titans are doing, a lot of cases, you know, it really is like cover your guy or you're in cover three here. You know, I guess in some instances it's like I know that I can cheat a little bit more this way because of, you know, Amani's over here, whatever. I mean, stuff like that I'm sure matters. But again, it's like that compared to, say, like offensive line where it's so much about timing and cohesion and all that and the ballet of offensive line play. It's still defense and reacting to things, you know. So, I mean, if you had your choice of which you would rather have players miss, it would definitely be the defensive side of the ball.
Rex wrote saying the Allen Iverson approach to practice for some of these defensive guys. Practice? We're talking about practice.
Exactly.
I'm largely with you. Yeah. I do think, like, it's more complicated than, oh, he's a corner. All he's got to do is cover the guy. Like, there's more to it than that. But to your point, like, if you know what the call is, if you know what coverage you're going to be in, and you know what the guys around you are doing, which I would assume with as much football as these guys have played, even if it hasn't been together, that you've got a general idea of how that's going to be in this defense, then it really is just about, all right, how healthy is Woozy? Is his calf 100% healed, ready to go? Is Legarius Sneed's knee in a place where with the maintenance plan they've done, there's nothing to worry about come game time? If you tell me that they're completely healthy and ready to go, I still got pretty good confidence in those two based on what we've seen them do in the NFL, particularly Legarius Sneed.
Yeah, and look, a lot of defense is also, I mean, it's knowing your opponent, right? So, yep. I mean, a lot of it is like your prep on what your opponent, their offense and all that. And then during a game, you know, you're constantly, you know, you're tracking all the route combinations and, you know, and you're kind of reacting to that too. So, and that's where like Awuzie and Sneed, those guys obviously, well, I mean, really, Hooker. I mean, they don't have anyone in that back end. Obviously, Diggs is a – I mean, as far as, like, the mental side of the game and all that stuff, that's a pretty good crew. McCreary's a second-year guy, but he came right in and played good football last year. That could be – I mean, it could be a really good secondary,
yep.
You know? And that's – I mean, if this team's going to overachieve or exceed the relatively low expectations around the league, I mean, I think the secondary will be a pretty key part of that.
And then there is the Will Levis part of this. We're going to see for the first time in the Brian Callahan system, Will Levis in an actual game setting. We talked a lot about that yesterday and just the opportunity for him, for this team, to change the narrative that seems to be out there nationally around them, and not very many people expecting them to be very good. And Brian Callahan was asked yesterday about Levis, his preparedness for the season, and how excited he is to watch that operation take place. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say on that.
How excited are you just to kind of see what this product looks like and with Will at the controls kind of running the offense?
Oh, I can't wait. That's that part. I can't wait to see what our team is. You know, I think we've had glimpses of what I think we're capable of over the course of training camp and the preseason. And again, we haven't faced a starting NFL defense yet, and that's okay, other than our own and a little bit of Seattle. But I do think that that's the part that I'm looking forward to, is to see what we are. And that's the exciting part about every season, is you get a chance to learn. Your team's going to grow. It's going to change. And that's the fun process. That's the journey part of it that I enjoy the most. And we got ourselves a journey ahead of us. There's no doubt.
So that was Brian Callahan yesterday discussing the offense and the challenge in front of them now. And as he pointed out, they have not played a starting NFL defense yet, even in these game settings. And then, you know, of course, a couple of practices against Seattle. So our first real look coming up on Sunday. I'm excited on a lot of different fronts to see what that looks like. I mean, I could list out almost every player on the offense that I'm excited to watch and play. Like, I'm really looking forward to it.
You are absolutely all over Dylan Raidens. Like, laser focus on Dylan
Raidens. I would
say
10 of 11. He would not be one of them.
Poor Dylan. Yeah. He's the one guy we exclude.
Yeah.
Now, hey, the right side line's important, just like the left side. The right guard. You know, the offensive line is, that's where it just, obviously it starts there for me. And I just, you know, we'll probably have a decent idea early, you know. Like, are they providing some clean pockets? I like their chances to get push and run the ball this week and this year, you know. And that helps you, that helps your pass pro. But can they, you know, we're going to have a, you know, Montez Sweat's going to barge in there a few times, right? I mean, you know, the Bears have a pretty good defense. But, you know, if Will Levis is setting up and able to scan the field, then I think he's going to make some plays this week.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We got a lot coming for you today on the program. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us at 7:30. We'll look ahead to Tennessee's big matchup with NC State with him coming up this weekend. Willie Donick at 8 o'clock. Dave Wanstead, former NFL coach, and current analyst with 670 The Score, joining us to break down the Bears a little bit more coming up at 8:30. And we've got what I'm sure everyone has been looking forward to for months at this point, our predictions in the National Football League. How good will the Titans be? Who's winning the Super Bowl? Who are our playoff teams? That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll get to all that. Coming up next, what is the best way for the Titans to attack Caleb Williams in his first start? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Chef Rand on YouTube says, Callahan shouted out Rex Road for his article on him on The Athletic via the official Titans podcast.
So wait a minute. So Callahan as in Brian, because I didn't write about Brian.
He says Callie. So I'm going to assume Brian Callahan shouted you out.
I wrote an article about his dad.
He did.
Is that what he's talking about?
I guess. I have to go listen.
Although Callie was quoted in it. Because he was a sixth grader in Wisconsin cheering on the Badgers.
He was
in the 90s, and even though he played, here, trivia for you all, he played quarterback, but his first position was offensive line. He was one of the big kids, so they made him play offensive line, and so Bill Callahan actually taught him a 3-point stance.
There you go.
How about that?
That's pretty good stuff.
1993, Madison, Wisconsin.
Very nice. I will be in Madison, Wisconsin, in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah. Wait, is that the Bama game?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be a heck of a weekend.
Boy, Bama might put one on them, huh?
They might.
They might put one on them. But by golly, the beers and the cheese curds will be beautiful anyway.
So what is the best way for the Titans to attack Caleb Williams in week one? It is the first start for Caleb Williams. It's going to be a lot of anticipation heading into it. We've talked about the weapons at his disposal with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze. And they've signed DeAndre Swift as well. So there's a lot the offense brings to the table on paper that the Titans will be facing and squaring off against coming up on Sunday. So, sometimes we see this with quarterbacks making their first start. Teams just blitz the heck out of them, and they see if they can handle it, if they can pick up a blitz at the NFL level. They change up the looks to the degree where you're seeing something different almost every time you're out there. A lot of times you'll show you something before the snap. They'll switch to something else after the snap happens. I mean, defensive coordinators many times go out of their way to challenge the rookie quarterback as much as humanly possible with the looks that they present. We know that Denard Wilson and this defense are aggressive by nature anyway. So my guess is, Joe, we're probably going to see the Titans bring the house a lot on Sunday. I'm interested to see exactly how that breaks down and what that looks like. But as you view the Titans defense, the personnel that they have, and then the situation that Williams is in, with it being his first NFL start, albeit with a very talented skill set of offensive weapons around him, what is the best way, in your opinion, for the Titans to attack him coming up in week one in his first NFL start?
Well, speaking of written word things, as you say this, I'm looking at this. Ted Gwynn, friend of the show, co-worker at The Athletic, who's a film guy. He's written some really interesting stuff on this defense. The Mike McDonald defense, he calls him the Sean McVay of defense, but it's a Vic Fangio descendant. But, you know, the interesting thing about it is it's just the variety of pressures, and sometimes it's not as aggressive as it's kind of like in general said to be aggressive. And in practice, I mean, that's what I've seen. So it's like, is that like given the offense, because obviously it's some of practice is like, hey, we want to see this or do this, you know, is that mean more that like they felt like their offense just needed to be pressured as much as possible to be prepared for the season? Or is that an indication like Denard Wilson is just more of a pressure? Like what the Ravens did with this defense was definitely more pressure than what others have done with it. But the bottom line is it is like a complex variety of pressures, and very, you know, you'd be very good at disguising things and coming from different areas than they think. And all that stuff is perfect for a rookie quarterback, right? I mean, I think that if they execute what this defense does well, then they're going to give him problems. But I also think that defending Caleb Williams in this league is probably going to be a lot like Patrick Mahomes, right? It's a lot like, look, if he breaks the pocket, the biggest problem you have is then he's going to get you downfield on a, you know, on a scramble route, on a scramble drill, and you're dead. You have to try to keep him hemmed in and not let him get outside, because Mahomes is great at this, obviously. Mahomes is great at everything. But Caleb Williams, some of the throws he makes on the run, we've seen in the preseason. I mean, he does have an uncanny ability to be accurate while fading right or left.
Yep.
So to me, it's keep him hemmed in, but I mean, I think we're going to see a variety of pressures. And of course, if the Titans get what they hope to get inside with 98-93, that's a great luxury to be able to just use those pressures and not have to rely on the pressures.
Well, and another thing that I saw Titans fans freaking out a little bit by yesterday, the unofficial depth chart came out, Joe, which, as we know, very important this time of year for the depth charts. Kenneth Murray and Jack Gibbons listed as the starting inside linebackers on the unofficial depth chart, to which Titans Twitter's reaction was, huh? Why is Ernest Jones not starting? I don't know that I'd put too much in to the unofficial depth chart, but you did throw out the possibility when they made the trade that maybe Jones isn't ready to start immediately coming into the new system.
I don't think it's crazy to think that, you know, Jack Gibbons starts the opener. I mean, Karski I'm kind of with him. It's like, he's obviously a better player, a more accomplished player for sure in this league. He's been a good starting linebacker. You know, he just got here. And Jack Gibbons, there's probably a certain amount of confidence and reliability there where they feel like maybe it's a little bit safer to start with Gibbons. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised either way on that. I think that it won't be long before Ernest Jones is your starter. But maybe, Have the Titans just basically held back and said this is a normal game? Brian Callahan kind of has talked like that. Yeah, like this is the game. Wait, now we worry about Chicago? Or have they done some things to kind of – because sometimes teams, you know, let's do this period. It'll be a little bit of like thinking about the Bears, you know?
Yeah.
Does that matter at all if they have been? I mean, Ernest Jones is a veteran. He's a pro, so you would think he'd be able to pick it up pretty quickly and be out there. But I could see that in this opener. And also, yeah, it's a depth chart, man.
In terms of the Titans' aggression on defense, not, you know, it's going to be controlled to some degree. Like I think some people are expecting this Titans defense to be like a version of NFL blitz that you play at the arcade, and I don't think it's necessarily going to be that. But one thing I do wonder, like when you do call your blitzes, whether it's Kenneth Murray coming on a blitz, whether it's somebody in the secondary coming on a blitz, whatever it is, Jamal Adams out there the way they use him, can you get home consistently? Because that's the thing. Like if you're going to call it, you got to be able to execute it and get home. I mean, and I'm not comparing Caleb Williams to Peyton Manning, but I am saying like there are certain quarterbacks that you play against where eventually it got to the point you didn't want to blitz. Like, I remember looking at the numbers, and I can't remember specifically what they were, but one of the numbers I saw was like Peyton Manning against the blitz was completing at one point in the season with the Broncos, like 85% of his passes or something. Like it was something absurd. And you're just like, well, you probably don't want to blitz Peyton Manning. And then you also don't want to sit back there and just give Peyton Manning forever to throw the ball either. So some of these quarterbacks present some big challenges when you do blitz. I have no idea. Like, is Caleb Williams, is he experienced enough in terms of the looks that he's seen in college and the coaching that he's got with the Bears so far to be able to recognize things quickly, diagnose things quickly, pick things up? Or, like, is that something in week one of your first NFL start that the Titans can really take advantage of here in terms of their ability to disguise and maybe his inexperience not being at a place yet where he's able to pick some of these things up?
Yeah, you certainly would hope you'd be able to get him a few times. Look, I mean, I think this defense, if done right, does that to veterans at times, you know? So, yeah, you would definitely hope that they could get to him. It's also a question. And by the way, this segment, we've now combined Peyton Manning and Patrick Mahomes to form Caleb Williams.
We have.
But you know.
Any Brady comp you want to make real quick?
I don't know. Does it like avocado tequila? Does Brady 19 hours of sleep a day? Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question, too. You know, the thing with him, though, is even if he doesn't recognize it and you get him sometimes, then he escapes, you know, and then it's a broken play. And, you know, you got issues. But, yeah, look, they'll get him. To me, it's like they'll get him sometimes. They'll fool him sometimes. I think they'll get him on the ground sometimes. But it's like, you know, how many X plays does he get against this defense? You know, because, like, if the Titans are going to be this aggressive, then those corners are going to be on islands at times. That's why you pay those guys to be able to do that. But this is a very good receiving group. I mean, DJ Moore is a special player. And then, of course, we'll see about the rookie. And if Keenan Allen, how good is he still?
That's the one that's still I'm interested to see. Like, how good is Keenan Allen still?
Titans would be – it would help the Titans if he's fading as it kind of seemed like he has been. But sometimes you get to a new city and, you know, you get a little boost of energy, especially if you're – catching passes from a combination of Patrick Mahomes and Peyton Manning.
There is that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. What is the best way for the Titans to attack Caleb Williams in his first NFL start? We'll take your thoughts on all that. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans week one matchup against Chicago. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Manny in Clarksville on the text line says, Keenan Allen had 1,200 yards last year without Herbert. That's not fading to me. I hear you.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's toast.
He is 32.
And he's had some injuries.
He's had some injuries.
So, I mean, we'll see. Yeah. No, I mean, if he's healthy and all good, it's not like he's 42, so he can still make plays. If he's close to the best version of Keenan Allen,
then that's going to be a problem.
Then they are, that's one heck of a way to support your rookie quarterback coming right out of the gates. So, we'll see. But that's where the Titans need – to me, because we'll see with Adunze too, right? I mean, he had some really good moments in the preseason. He's a rookie.
Yeah.
DJ Moore is a problem.
There's no doubt.
I mean, he's.
I mean, if you're that's who Snead's going to be on, right? Like if they're
matching, if and when,
then it's probably going to be Snead on DJ Moore.
I would assume so.
Would be my guess.
Yeah.
So we'll see what that looks like. I mean, and you know, Swift too. It's kind of a different element for them at running back. Now he didn't have a great year last year, but you know we've seen him play good football in this league before too. So yeah, that's you know probably something that's under discussed about the Titans defense that at times seemingly out of nowhere became a problem for them last year. Like they had been such an elite run defense the previous two seasons, and then last year. Here and there, they just get gashed on the ground. And you're like, huh, where did that come from? How'd you guys make Zach Moss look like Le'Veon Bell out there? Like, so, I mean, you can't have something like that. You talk about helping the rookie quarterback. Well, it would help the rookie quarterback if the Bears were able to run the ball against the Titans. So one way to attack Caleb Williams is to make sure they can't run the ball effectively in this game, which is that's where you hope the Jeffrey Simmons-Devondre Sweat combo is so a big problem to deal with as it relates to the running game for the Bears.
Right, and that's and also it's your linebackers, and you know, like Kaharski has pointed out, like how often are those two, both those guys, gonna be on the field? But like you got to be, yeah, you got to be sound stopping the run. You know, in the preseason, I thought the Titans definitely looked like a team that can run the football on offense, and some of that was at the expense of their defense. So you could look at it that way too. You know, I mean, is that like is that gonna be a problem in the way we talk so much about? You know, Kenneth Murray coming downhill, aggression, making plays, sounds awesome. Ernest Jones, same thing, downhill, make a play. I mean, that guy had 140 tackles last year, so obviously he's a run stopper. But yep. It's like, you know, you want to be solid too. You know, big. It can't just be big plays. You have to be. Yeah, you can't give up. You know, 4 and 5 and 6 yards a pop on the ground. So it's just so much that we're gonna learn about so many things.
Vol for Life on the YouTube chat says Sweat. Simmons, Landry, and Arden Key. Sounds like a nightmare to go against. A nightmare, he says, from that front four. I mean, I if Sweat hits and he is as good as he was in camp and continues to build on it throughout the year, then I do think that group of four has the chance to be really good when it comes to Simmons, Sweat, and we know what like when Landry's healthy, we know what he is. He's a good pass rusher in this, and not just a good pass rusher. Like he can play in all situations. He's a three down guy that can stay on the field, and we've seen it at the height of his career. He's playing like 95% of the defensive snaps. Now I don't know that he's going to do that again. I don't know that it's smart to have him doing that again, coming off the ACL a couple years ago, and now at his age. So hopefully they can develop a little bit of a rotation there. You know, I still wonder is Key. In terms of being a starting player, is that a weak spot for the Titans on the defensive side of the ball? But if the other three are top level and as good as they can be, you would have to think that that helps Arden Key a lot in his role.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Arden Key, you know, is a little bit of the coattail rider there in that situation.
I would agree.
Of the nightmare. But, yeah, he's capable of putting together some good pass rush stretches, and you would think that he would benefit. I would like to be the fourth guy with those three again, especially that's I mean Sweat right away of the most interesting things about the opener. He's high on my list.
Yep.
Just again, how much he's out there, how effective he is in all situations. You know, it's just a different deal when you're playing a full football game. How much rotation is there? Because, look, the depth there, to me, is definitely questionable. It's questionable in a few spots. Really, it's questionable on both lines is where the depth, to me, is really a question mark with this team. But, I mean, they're going to need him to play a lot of this and every game.
Glenn on the YouTube chat saying, if the Titans' offensive line holds it down, the offense is going to be unbeatable, in my opinion. So maybe that if that's the case – maybe that's the best way to attack Caleb Williams is just go hang up 41 on the other side. That would certainly help your defense.
We've got a nightmare pass rush and an unbeatable offense. I mean, what are we talking here?
Yeah, I'm talking.
I mean, Chef Ran has so many posts on the YouTube chat. My dude, it is Tuesday. I'm just
– hey, keep them coming.
I'm not telling you to stop. I'm just saying I'm a little worried about your excitement level right now. Like,
it's a marathon.
Still got to wait.
Sunday's still a ways to go.
5 days, man. Yeah, but hey – Good thing is there is at least a game in 2 days. So it'll kind of get you warmed up for it. But, no, look, the offensive line, I think it's going to be okay. You know, I do. I think it's going to be a potentially like a middle-of-the-pack offensive line in the league, which is a huge step if that's true.
Yeah.
And between that and what they've added skill-wise, it could be good offense.
It could be. I'm leaving an open mind in terms of, like, if the offensive line can gel together and just be adequate, what that could mean. Like, if you give Will Levis enough time to operate the offense, what sort of a difference does that make? We've talked about – and, sorry, I'm looking at the TV and Brian Kelly's just slamming his fist down on the podium. We'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. But if you
– Triggered.
If you give him some time – You know, so much of what we talk about with Levis is, yeah, if you look at the numbers, they're not great last year, but did he really have a chance? Like, look at what he was working at. And one thing I don't want to have happen, I don't know if he's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be bad. I can tell you one thing I don't want is any sort of level of excuse making for him this year. Like, I don't want the Titans to give him an opportunity or give themselves an opportunity to make excuses for him. Like, have the conditions be as good as they can possibly be around him to where you know. To where you know that you've given him the best look possible. And then he's either good enough or he's not. And you can figure it out from there. And I think to their credit, the Titans have done their best in one offseason to try to do that with the offensive line and with the skill positions that they brought in.
But they don't have a right tackle, Robbie.
They don't have a right tackle, according to some. Should we tell a story?
Did they do enough? No.
I don't know.
I forgot the story.
I did too.
Right.
Thank you.
Could they have done more?
I'm sure they could have. You could have signed everyone if you wanted to. They still got cap space.
I mean, the funny thing is, but in all seriousness, like, you know, we've talked about Odunze, right? Like, what if that's the way they would have gone? Right now, I don't think that I would feel less confident that Will Levis would have what he needs.
I mean, I would feel less confident, too, just in terms of he'd probably end up flat on his back.
I mean, they'd
13
have
times
a
game.
They'd have a second round.
But, man, you could get open quick out there. A lot of guys could get open.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine Treylon Burks is your fifth, NWI is your sixth. You'd really get after it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It actually sounds ridiculous to have done that. But if Odunze is great,
yeah,
then, you know, you can look back with
that
regret.
That was pre-Boyd too, right, though? Like, they had not yet signed Tyler Boyd.
That's right.
I don't think.
Yeah, and wouldn't have, I would assume.
Right.
Right. But they also would have gone second-round tackle, which then also, by the way, means they don't get Devondre Sweat.
Yeah. A lot of things.
Perfect draft.
Different.
Is what they had right now before the season starts.
This draft looking awfully good before we've seen them play a single down of football to this point. But, you know, in all seriousness, like I've said it many times, that's what this year is about, is Will Levis. And if you can get to the point where the conditions around him eliminate some of the crutch that you could have, and I'm not blaming the Titans or the fans or us or anybody, but the crutch just was what it was there last year. The offensive line was so bad that it really is difficult to put any sort of meaningful evaluation into it.
Yeah, that was reality, and that's the thing. I understand excuse making. You know, I understand the idea. I'm with you. It'd be great to say, okay, here it is. You have time. You have good receivers. Let's see what you do. Duke of Hurl on YouTube says, Titans fans are world-class at making excuses for a QB. All it'll take is a couple injuries to receivers for Titan faithful to give them a pass. I think all fans want to believe that whoever the hopeful franchise quarterback of the moment is, you know, they want to believe that it's not his fault.
Yeah.
Right?
And that happened with Marcus quite frequently.
Yeah. No, it did. And I was right there, like, kind of like, you know, I mean, at some point you realize, you know. But the thing with him, too, is, like, he'd have the second half at Kansas City to win a playoff game. Or
all of a sudden he'd just break out on a 93-yard run or whatever it was against Jacksonville that one day.
Yeah, it was like a 20-yard run.
No, I'm talking about the one where he ran for, like, an 85-yard touchdown. I'll show it to you. It's on YouTube.
The same day that he
stiff-armed
Burns?
No.
Oh, okay. I got you. Oh, that was earlier in his
career.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean,
it's like, wow, that guy's Michael Vick. What's going on back there?
I mean, shoot, you were here in that stadium with your Packers. He lit them up that day, man.
I think they had scored two touchdowns before I got in the building, but yeah.
That's what that's fans are going to hold out and hold out and hold out. But also, like, Levis is just starting. And, again, I was still more positive than negative on him last year. Then at some point you raise the bar to, okay, so then can you consistently be good? And I think they'll give him at least they're definitely going to give him a better chance to show what he is this year. How much better, we'll find out.
A prominent Titan yesterday, Joe, with another comment that made me ask the question, geez, did they all just hate Mike Vrabel? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pre-game at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we played the clip from a couple of months ago of Arden Key talking about the defense, the coaching staff, and how they actually correct mistakes now on the defensive side of the ball, which apparently is a big departure from how things were running under Mike Vrabel and Shane Bowen. And there was another prominent Titan yesterday with an interesting comment on how things are currently being done in terms of the approach to the game plan. Here's what Titans outside linebacker Harold Landry had to say yesterday at his press conference.
One way of like doing things, but now I feel like the box has been open and there's so many more people involved in the preparation process. And, you know, like for guys who've done it for a while, there's a trust between us and the coaching staff that, you know, everybody has different ways to prepare for the game. And I just feel like now we have that trust and that confidence to come into the building, and, you know, everybody can kind of not necessarily be locked into one box, but like guys know what they need to do to get ready for Sunday.
So that was Harold Landry yesterday. And I heard that, Joe. And my first thought was, man, did everybody there just not like Mike Vrabel and the staff? Like, he's essentially saying there that now this under this new coaching staff, there's more than one way to prepare for the game. We're not locked into a box. Got a lot of guys on the defense that have played a lot of football. And we know that some guys prepare a little bit differently. So it sounded to me like he was saying Vrabel and Shane Bowen, their way was, this was our way of doing things. This is how we're going to do it. And this is how we're preparing for the game. And now that box has been opened. Joe Rexroad, your thoughts on what Harold Landry had to say yesterday?
Sounds like collaboration. Is he talking about collaboration?
Maybe so.
Well, I do want to make sure I have this right, though. So they didn't correct mistakes, but there's one way to do things. So the one way to do things is to not correct mistakes.
We want you guys to suck.
Right. We will make mistakes and stick with them. That's it. Prepare accordingly, fellas. Yeah.
It's just very interesting to me how this continues to come out.
Like, I don't know. Like, I wasn't there. I don't know. You know, like, that one sort of begged some kind of a follow-up. Because I don't know that he was – I'd be really surprised if Harold Landry would intentionally rip Vrabel. And, again, I guess it could be more like Bowen, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's talking specifically about defensive staff. But he – I mean, Harold Landry, like, I don't think he was BSing with his love for Vrabel. You know, like, so – however, it's another example of – clearly it's a different feel, vibe,
there's
atmosphere.
Definitely,
right?
That's what I was going to say. Like, I don't know if I took those comments as Harold Landry, like, didn't like Vrabel. But, I mean, some of these guys have, like, gone out of their way to talk about how much different it is just in terms of the environment there and the culture, the work environment, whatever you want to call it. But, like – just the openness of the coaching staff and the conversations they have. And like, it's been pretty eye-opening to see them talk about just how different it is heading into all this.
Yeah. Well, look, I think there's definitely, well, first of all, Vrabel, and we've talked about it a million times, but like Vrabel, very frank, in your face, kind of old school sort of coach, but not as old school as you maybe thought. You might think. He also definitely had a player's mindset, played at a high level in the league, and definitely like had some leeway on a lot of things too. So, I mean, a lot of guys have talked about that in the past. They didn't make it up. But I think they're definitely – I think from Shane Bowen to Denard Wilson, there's a big difference in And look, like Shane Bowen was a screamer out there in the practice field. It probably as much. He was probably the biggest, just straight up screamer on the practice field they had.
What was he screaming at if he wasn't?
I don't know. Anything. That's the thing. I'm trying to remember. I remember a lot of loud outbursts with swear words in them. I guess it was never like correcting a mistake. It was like, man, I hate that mistake. I wish we didn't make it. I don't know what to do about it. These mistakes suck. What do we do?
I think of all the comments that have ever been made, and there are some doozies. I mean, we got, I think it was Byard back in the day calling, you know, Anthony Firkser a top flight tight end, and A.J. Brown. You know, Racy McMath kind of reminds me of Julio Jones. We've had some doozies out there. I think the Arden Key, yeah, we just never corrected anything. I think that's my favorite one of all time.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Other than old coaching staff, we didn't do anything. We didn't correct a thing.
And by the way, I know this is controversial because I'm sure all guys here have loved Paul Kuharsk, but I don't like that guy. I'm going to be the first guy to say it. No, yeah, I like that Arden Key. Yeah, he just kind of says stuff sometimes, you know. But clearly, like these guys, I think clearly these guys like playing for Denard Wilson.
Clearly,
like,
yes.
They definitely like him. And with him, it seems to me like –
game played yet, but yes, clearly.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, let's see how it all plays out on a Sunday. But I do think with him, he has an intensity, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I have no doubt he's correcting mistakes. But also, I mean, it does sound like, again, just the whole thing in the building from the top down is a little bit more, what do you think? You know, and that, like, we talk about it in other sports all the time. It's more like, here, tell me why we're doing this.
Right.
Shut up. The old school goes, shut up. You just do it.
Right.
And now it's not like that. And now there's nothing wrong with that.
No, like, it's funny to me, though, because I think everybody's going to view this new staff. I was like, so Brian Callahan's a player's coach, and Denard Wilson is a player's coach, and the players love him, and they relate to him. But I remember some of these exact same conversations taking place about Vrabel.
Oh,
right?
100%.
Like, yeah, he was. Vrabel played, and Vrabel,
yes.
Vrabel's a dude, and he's one of us, and that's why he connects to us so well.
Right, and this is where it gets so dumb. Like Chuck here in the text line, I'm not calling you dumb, Chuck, but like, he says, if they didn't like Mike Vrabel, that would explain the lack of enthusiasm we saw the last few years. I mean, look, they didn't have like midway through the 22 season, they were in first place. They went and thumped Green Bay on the road. They had plenty of enthusiasm. You know, Simmons gets hurt. Autry gets hurt.
General manager gets fired.
Yeah. The last 2 years, they didn't have a left tackle. You know? So, like, you can't. There wasn't some general, I don't like Vrabel, there's a lack of enthusiasm. In retrospect, this is what, and again, this is just someone being old like this who's seen this happen a million times. It's like this whole, let's just put all the crap on the people who are gone. They were all the problem, and the people who are here now are all good, and it's just not that simple.
It's not. Now, if you're a Titans fan, you do hope that, you know, sometimes in professional sports, regardless of if the predecessor and the staff was a good coach or not, sometimes you do need a different voice in there.
For sure. And I think Vrabel's probably a guy who has a shelf life.
I would agree.
Yeah.
People have made the Laviolette comparison. Yeah. Like,
I don't think it's a bad comparison at all.
I don't think it is either. And, you know, maybe it ends up serving the Titans really well. Now, at the end of the day, I don't know that what's going to define Brian Callahan's tenure here is – like how much the players like him and how like his ability and Denard Wilson's ability to collaborate with each other. Like it's going to come down to game day and what you do and decisions you make, plays you call, those type of things. But I do think probably a situation here where a change of voice could pay off early for some of these guys.
Yeah, these guys are all pros. I mean, they're all highly paid professionals working together. If Callahan's good at his job, then everything will go, and they're winning, then it's going to just be just like this.
Yeah.
And then if there start to be questions about the coaching, the play, whatever it is, you know, then you test your culture.
You do. I wonder what else will be said. Landry talking about, hey, man, we need a lot of collaboration here now. A lot of different ways to approach preparing for a game.
Yeah.
Arden Key. We correct mistakes now. Didn't do that before.
Who else? I mean, there were others, too.
I'm sure there were, but here those are what's coming to mind.
Yeah. There have been some others just talking about guys speaking more freely and things like that. They do not – let me tell you something. The F-bombs were much more freely dispensed previously.
Although, I mean, I don't know that we ever had a training camp altercation with a reporter under Vrabel, so with a player coming off the field. That did happen this year.
That's true. We did have Vrabel screaming at Austin Stanley that one day, though. Man.
I forgot about that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It is that time. Prediction season, baby. How good are the Titans going to be? What are our playoff teams in the AFC and the NFC? Who's winning the Super Bowl this year? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.